Here again is John S. Doyle with what it says in this morning's newspapers.
The Irish Times describes the political situation as stalemate after Mary Lou MacDonald of Sinn Féin won the highest number of votes for the position of Taoiseach yesterday, but like the other candidates, Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan, did not come close to winning a majority. Shambles is the opinion of the Irish Daily Mirror. The paper reports that Micheál Martin accused Sinn Féin of trying to legitimise what he called the IRA's murderous sectarian campaign, that Mary Lou MacDonald said he had a narrow and bitter mind, and that Leo Varadkar resigned but is caretaker Taoiseach. The Greens and the Social Democrats sat with a sense of wonder at their place in the new order, writes Michael Clifford in the Irish Examiner. But on its front page, the paper reports that a bitter personal row between the Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin leaders marred the first day of the 33rd Dáil. He said the fundamental issue was that we do not believe that Sinn Féin operates to the same democratic standards held to by every other party in this place. She said she had a problem dealing with Mr. Martin when he, as she put it, sat around the cabinet table with people who were subsequently jailed for corruption. A former leader of Sinn Féin, Gerry Adams, is a key part of the party's negotiating team on the formation of a government, according to The Independent. Philip Ryan writes that in a leaked Sinn Féin briefing note from members, Mr. Adams and four other unelected party members are listed as members of the team. Whatever happens with government formation, Mary Lou MacDonald and her party are now at the very centre of Irish politics, writes Pat Leahy in The Times. That will change Irish politics, but it will also change Sinn Féin, he says. Already, party bosses are discovering that the scrutiny that comes with power can be uncomfortable, as they squirm a little in the anti-Semitism controversy over tweets by one of the party's successful candidates, Raedha Cronin. On that subject, a former minister, Alan Shatter, in a column in The Independent, says, "I don't believe there should be a place in any mainstream Irish political party for a person with the views expressed by Raedha Cronin." The Independent leads with a report by Paul Williams on young people at the centre of the Drogheda drugs feud. He writes that 14 teenagers have been identified by Gardaí as vulnerable but active participants in the feud. Williams quotes a source as saying they are viewed by older gang members as dispensable cannon fodder, glorified slaves who do the dirty work and cause mayhem. The Examiner and Irish Sun lead stories report the words of the mother of Kimberly O'Connor, the young girl killed in a road crash in Cork City on Wednesday. Jennifer Haynes said, "Our lives are shattered, our hearts are broken." On the Irish Daily Star's front page, it is reported that the verdict of the Supreme Court in a case central to a bid for freedom by Graham Dwyer, who is serving a prison sentence for the murder of Elaine O'Hara, will be screened live on RTE television on Monday. The Times reports on its front page on what it calls a landmark decision for the planning system, the quashing by the High Court of Onboard Planola's decision to approve developer Johnny Ronan's 13-storey tower on the Dublin docks. The Independent reports that Mr. Ronan described the decision as scandalous. Also on the Times front page is a story about a drug dealer who amassed a €55 million fortune in the cryptocurrency Bitcoin, but has lost the codes to get access to the accounts. Conor Lally reports that Clifton Collins had printed out the codes and hidden them with his fishing rod at his rented home in Cornamona, County Galway. But when he was arrested with cannabis herb in 2017 in County Wicklow and jailed for 5 years, the house was cleared on behalf of the landlord and many of Collins's items were taken to a dump in County Galway. Lally writes that workers at the dump told Gardaí that they remembered seeing discarded fishing gear. However, waste from the dump is sent to Germany and China to be incinerated, and the fishing rod case has never been found.